Paul Tonko, the 2016 presidential election is coming up. Do you think, this is a truth question, do you think there's any way that we could see this election come down to Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders?
I don't think so. I think that, well, at least on the Donald Trump side, I believe that he perhaps has peaked. I think that the kind of strong statements and the degree of animosity that's driven with some of these statements, the harshness, the comments about immigrants, these have a limited audience, I believe. And while he's doing well in the polls right now, I think given that attitude and that thinking, it eventually wears thin, and I think you somehow trip upon your own words and you take it too far.
Do you think that it's possible that Hillary Clinton has been kneeling at the side of her bed before she goes to sleep and saying, dear God, either make him the Republican candidate or have him so ticked off that he decides to run as a third party candidate, which of course would seal their doom?
Yeah, you know, I think Hillary's probably focused on her own message and trying to figure out the strategy on the other side with so many candidates and watching some of the extreme statements being made will probably just work itself through. I do think that it's probably one of the effects out there that is hurtful to all the other candidates is that it's just taking all the oxygen out of the campaigns of a number of those who are in a startup mode.
Yeah, 16 of them.
And because he's predominant in the airwaves now. Mm-hmm. He's dominating those airwaves.
And he's bragging about the fact he doesn't have to pay for any of it. The media is so attentive.
I think, there's an audience for anyone in this country, which is a great thing. But I think with that degree of intolerance or whatever we might want to label it, you max out early.
But do you think this is Hillary's to lose?
Well, I think that she starts as the front runner for the nomination.
Sure.
At least.
Well, no, she starts as the front runner against any of them, I think.
Yeah. And I think that's a strong place to be, but then it's also a huge challenge to be able to maintain that spot. But then again, I did go to the Belmont and I watched Farrow run almost wire to wire. So, you know, there are those that win a race by being out in front and staying out front. And her messaging has gotten stronger on the middle income community, which I think is important. And I think the fact that there are those in the Democratic circles that are speaking to some of these issues now strengthen her opportunity to respond and respond accordingly. So, you know, I think that helps her.
I know that there's been great to-do about education. I know you've been very concerned about education all of these years. Now there's an education bill. It seems to me that, you know, a lot of people who are for some kind of Common Core, some kind of idea about raising standards are in full retreat. Am I wrong?
I think that's the trend. I think you're citing a trend. I think that we need to step back and realize that you need some sort of measurement. You need some sort of accountability with the dollars that are being invested. And because of the importance of the issue, you're allowing people to discover their skills and talents, and then you're, you know, honing a message of development and underpinning the workforce of the future. So it's a very critical issue area. What we tended to do, I believe, is overtest and didn't look at the quality of that testing. And if we can move toward quality testing with soundness without exhausting our teacher or student base and doing it more effectively, we have a great outcome. But the real concern I have with the education bill that was advanced through the House of Representatives, without my vote, I would add, is that they had the gall to take Title I funding and indicate that it should be stretched across the country.
And Title I is?
Title I is based on need in the classroom and ability to pay at home. and it basically empowers. It's a great equalizer. We've said over and over, education is a great equalizer. This is a great equalizer in how funds are distributed for education. It takes the poorest census tract schools and says, you need more assistance. You need more help. And in its original stated mission, Title I was an awesome infusion into the education resource arena. Then it dwindled a bit. We didn't fund it to its full source. The best reform we can do is to take Title I to its original purpose and fund it. What we do here is reduce some fundings in education and then stretch them in terms of availability to all students. That's a vulgar thing to do for our kids most in need. Hmm. And this bill didn't deserve to be passed in the House of Representatives. Now, the United States Senate, dealing with this issue, will come up with their version. We'll have their version, and then we're going to have to reconcile the two bills. But it's tragic that kids are put onto the battlefield in this way, the political battlefield in this way. And it's a great concern that we should all have.
Paul Tocco, have you decided, assuming a bill comes out that would tell the president he can't enter into an Iran agreement, how you'll vote?
I'm still reviewing the issue.
You and Chuck Schumer.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that I really do believe that we have two choices here. It's either to come to the table of diplomacy or go to war. And what I sense right now, and again, I'm going through the details, my strong sense is that this reduces tremendously Iran's ability to empower them to produce a nuclear weapon. You know, we reduce their centrifuge opportunities. We give them some of the oldest centrifuge opportunities to live with. There was a standard of 20% for uranium, which is usually a pretty high threshold that can then take them to nuclear weapon formation. They're reduced down to some 3.7%.
But do you trust them? I mean, you know, well, they could be scoundrels.
No, this is verification. You know, the trust, I don't know if anybody has that trust yet because of the track record. But this is about reducing their ability to have nuclear weapons. There will be groups out there that will make certain that the overview is done to keep check on their commitment and their implementation of the agreement. I think that's very important. We have to remember, too, that we weren't doing these negotiations on our own. We were there with the UK, with Germany, with France, with Russia, with China. And there were different approaches that all these nations wanted. But I think, you know, while no one gets everything they want, I think the world is made safer. Certainly the Mideast is made safer by the restrictions on Iran. Again, we're poring through the details because there's a lot of questions that we'll have, a lot of interaction with the administration and various sources that will come in info feed. I think that's important. This is a huge, very critical agreement. We want to make certain that the right vote is cast, but I'm encouraged that the opportunity to create nuclear weapons is tremendously reduced for Iran.
Well, Paul Tocco, I agree with you for whatever it's worth. I'm not the congressman you are.
always like to have the doctor's encouragement.
But I appreciate your being here, taking all this time with us. You've been a great friend to this radio station. Thank you so much.
It's a great radio station, and we thank you.